as far as sound wise. You know, sometimes, you know, when I get to working with this tech stuff, I think Steve Radakovich alluded to it there this morning. You know, I'm not very techy myself. And it kind of reminds me of, I was having to be up in Minnesota, you know, earlier this spring, and I heard two guys talking after we put on a workshop up there concerning EID, source verification, some explanation of EPDs and the such. And they were talking, and evidently they get together, you know, once a month and have a card party, you know, up in that part of the United States. And the guy says to Ole, he says, Ole, said, you know, you won the door prize at the card party, you know, the other night. And Ole says, yes, I did. And the neighbor says, well, it was a toilet brush, wasn't it? And Ole says, yes, it was. It was a fine toilet brush. And the neighbor says to Ole, he says, well, how do you like it? He says, well, I still think I prefer toilet paper yet. So with that in mind, I think it's some of this stuff, you know, we look at, you know, being EPDs, some of the things, you know, in genomics that we have in today's industry. You know, we certainly have a lot of things to look at, to appraise, and to utilize what the best use of them is going to be. What we're going to look at here today is just a study that was done by CSU and the people at NAALFA. How do genetic differences influence animal value? It's one of these things where we put a lot of time, a lot of effort, you know, into collecting data and all, and really, nothing really happens until somebody writes a check, you know, for it, does it? You know, eventually we have to get paid for it. You know, if we're going to collect this data, do all the collection process, send the data in, get it back, analyze it, we need to know what that's worth to us and at what level we need to be to maybe, to where we have an advantage over the competition. So this study was done basically in the fall or the spring of 2005 and the fall of 2006. It included 2,500 bulls and 3,500 females. Primarily, they sold at public auction. They were both registered and unregistered animals in the study. Qualitative and quantitative traits were measured for values, you know, as from a buyer standpoint, a seller standpoint, and as well, extreme sale prices were excluded, meaning that any bulls that sold in excess of $9,000 or less than $1,000 were excluded from this study. I think one thing to remember in the job that I have now with NAALFA, I do a little bit of traveling. And, you know, I like these books. And I like selling books, you know, on how to market. You know, because, really, we need to know how to market products, I think, to stay in business and be able to better serve our customers. About one, and it's kind of like the Little Red Book that we heard about this morning for golf book of Harvey Penix, but this is the Little Red Book of Selling. You know, and this quote was in there, people do not buy for your reasons, they buy for their reasons. And I read that, and I think, however so true. And I always remember, maybe arguably, one of the leading minds in the automobile industry, Lee Iacocca. You know, that when he went to analyze a market, maybe where he should position at this point in time, Chrysler, Plymouth, who was in bankruptcy at the time, you know, he didn't go by what was going on at the same time and replicate what other people were already doing. He went out and did market research, you know, and particularly went to the housewife. You know, at that point in time, large vans were going on. You know, they loved them. They loved the room. There were kid haulers. They had whole lots of groceries and such, but they had some problems, didn't they? You know, they were rather large. They didn't fit into a lot of the garages, you know, that people had at that time. You know, the women didn't like them very well because they were hard to back up and see out of, and she had become a semi-professional trucker, you know, to be able to utilize the mirrors in regard to backing out of places. Lee Iacocca and Chrysler and Plymouth filled a need, and at that point in time, it was the minivan. You know, and I think we in the cattle industry can do the very same thing with research and in paying attention to what our customers are doing. Because without that, we really don't know what direction to go, do we? Or maybe how far to take the direction in which we are going. One thing we found out in this study, and again, this is all from limousine breeders, but that registration pays. Commercial buyers are willing to pay an average of $417 more per head purchased for bulls, females that were registered versus those that were non-registered. And we think, well, what difference does you know, a piece of paper make? Well, That piece of paper in this study made $417 worth of difference. And I think part of it is, the pride of ownership, the sense of belonging, as well as when they got that registration certificate, it means that they have some help, doesn't it? It documents the purchase. Not unlike a warranty that we get when we buy any product, be it a washer, a dryer, or an automobile, or whatever. We get documentation when we purchase Lowe's, don't we? People within the cattle industry, when they buy registered cattle, get documentation, or can be entitled to it anyway. The other things, of course, that are included are certain marketing programs and all. But we found this very interesting, particularly in this age where we wonder what are the roles of breed associations. In 10 years, what will their role be within our industry? But here, at least at this point in time, people are willing to pay more for cattle that do have registrations, papers, or documentation. We looked at, split them out, and basically Colorado State University and the staff at NALF did an excellent job in trying to compile, quite a few sale numbers. And it's not just the whole numbers, it was just all the different directions it was coming from. They looked and also pulled it apart by animals that were produced, by natural service, AI, and embryo transfer. In this particular study, they used natural service as the base price, or zero, and then the two levels going up then are AI and embryo transfer. As far as from this, we can see that the bulls that were produced by artificial insemination were worth an average of $402 more than those produced by natural service. Those that were produced through embryo transfer were worth $472 more than those that were produced natural service. I think maybe not surprising, but as we looked at the female side of the of this equation, we saw that those that were produced AI were worth an additional $298, but the ones that were produced ET were worth an additional $768. Of course, obviously, we'd like to hope, or we most certainly hope that a higher level of genetics are going into those animals that are going into embryo transfer programs. Wouldn't we? So, hence, better EPDs, more marketability beyond that point in time, but thus driving the need or driving the increase in values. The influence of complete performance information, including ultrasound scan data on limbs and bulls and female sale prices. Bulls that had complete data, and I mean complete EPD data and ultrasound data, were worth $349 more than those that had none or incomplete data. Females, $443 more. In going through this data, the thing that was very interesting was, on the scan data or the ultrasound data, it really didn't make any difference how good it was. I mean, if they really excelled in it, it was just that if it was available. As you looked at that, the scan data actually might be kind of bad, or it wasn't anything that was going to impress you, but they still wanted to be able to see it. The qualitative traits that we're looking at, be it horn pulled, red and black, I think maybe not any big surprises. In our instance, we're basically working with a red horn breed that is transitioning into a black in color and pole. As we can see here, the producers of black cattle, are receiving a reward for that, doing that right now. When we get down with red being the base price here in this study, cattle had single black parents on the bull side. You got $211 more on the female side, 65. Double black parents of individuals on the bull side, $331 additional versus 165 for the females. And DNA tested homozygous black individuals, receive a whop at $843 on the bulls and $738, on the females. And I guess as we start to analyze, how much should we spend for certain traits? I think Dr. Anderson posed that question, to us here earlier today. I think on that last slide, the ultrasound scanning of the cattle, it showed us additional 300 some bucks, right? And the cost of that is basically what, about $15, $17.50, depending on how many, how far you got to travel to get a technician in. So return on investment in these traits, be it scanning of cattle, be it in DNA testing, for homozygous black you know, cattle, it has a great return on investment at this point in time, doesn't it? Skirred, pulled, as far as the effect on prices, and not surprisingly, you know, producers are kind of tired of messing with horns. You know, if they can get by without having them, they're willing to pay more for germplasm that that will give them pulled cattle. As we can see, skirred cattle on the bulls with the base price being horned cattle. On skirrs, $237 increase on the bulls, $221. But working across, you know, be it single pulled, you know, on the parent side, double pulled on the parent side, versus DNA tested homozygous pulled animals, you know, a whopping $1,700 above the average for the bulls and $1,441, you know, on the females. You know, again, when we look at DNA testing and all, it is an expense, you know, but yet we have to look at it as a return on that investment. The quantitative traits, those traits that are controlled by, you know, by many genes. EPDs rank animals. You know, it's a report card, isn't it, of individuals. When we go in, and I really like to just take this snapshot on every breed of cattle. You know, what's average in that breed? What's in the top 20%? What's in the bottom 80%? Or the bottom 20%? You know, and really, we have to know those kind of things, really, before we can truly evaluate where those cattle are within that breed to really see what we're getting. Yeah, because we all know that the, you know, plus 85 in the Simmental isn't the same as plus 85 in Angus. With a, you know, nor is there across breed EPDs. We need to make the adjustment factors in those. So sometimes, you know, I think producers, commercial people in particular, can get a little bit confused about what they're looking at, you know, when we start analyzing these EPDs. So we encourage our members even, you know, take a snapshot and to develop trend lines within their cow herds. Gabonese direct EPD influence on bull sale prices. We can see that as we work up, as we get up to greater than a plus 9 on the Gabonese direct EPD, that those animals in this study received an additional $209 above the average, which basically we use zero of less than a plus 3 Gabonese direct EPD. This tells us that you know, basically producers are willing to pay for Gabonese. Yearling weights, EPD influence on bull sale prices, with zero being less than a plus 65, and coming up the ladder here to where the $816 premium is greater than a plus 85 yearling weight EPD, receives an additional $816, you know, per animal sold or per bull sold. So basically that's telling us, you know, they still want cattle to grow. You know, they still like growth and are willing to pay for it. Milk, you know, no surprise, you know, and maybe, you know, in milk, this might have surprised me more than some of the other traits, you know, that still, you know, even with high maintenance costs, with feed costs where we're at, maybe just in the industry and downsizing, you know, maybe our mature cow herds and such, that producers, commercial producers, are still looking at these milk EPDs and willing to pay. You know, with the milk EPD within our breed anyway, of a plus 24, an additional $413 premium over an animal that's less than a plus 16. Scrotal circumference, you know, the same way. Less than a 0.2, we use as base price of zero, working it up the ladder. Of course, the more we got in the middle there, it didn't change much, did it? But as we move up to greater than a 0.6 scrotal circumference EPD, those animals brought $325 more, you know, than those that were lower. You know, and again, which I had trouble with at first, you know, we got to keep in mind, or I did, that this study was actually done by the people who wrote checks. I mean, it was sale results, and you know, so it's not like, you know, we have some. Decision making in there to where if it's actually correct or, you know, the gray areas in these. I mean, this was done by people that actually wrote checks. Temperament, which we got coming on this program, you know, next, and we've heard some talk about it when it comes to feed efficiencies. Limbs and breeders and members several years back, before 1995, identified a problem that they wanted to help improve upon and in selecting for docility, you know, within their breed. They've made excellent progress in doing so, And I guess the other thing that, you know, as we look at other breeds, as well as our own, it's very good to see that, in no surprise again, that commercial producers are willing to pay us for cattle that are easy to handle, easy to take care of. And I think probably a lot of it's, you know, a sign of the times, the fact that, you know, they don't have a lot of labor. They have kids helping them possibly out there more, and from a safety standpoint, but as well as the cattle's doability and the thing. As much as, like in our docility score of greater than 17, willing to pay, you know, $341 premium over cattle that are just a little bit more waspy. We always talk about, you know, where should we be in the game? You know, should we go all efficiencies from a feed standpoint, or do we put all our eggs in the basket and go to in product, you know, from the value layer of cattle under rail? You know, I think there's, you know, we need to look at both of them.